I have said this every single week, but it is true. I am enjoying this series in Colossians. I hope you guys are enjoying it. It has been so much fun just to be getting closer to the Lord this year. Anybody feeling closer to the Lord this year? I hope so. I am. And it's great because this year, 2022, I don't know what happened, but it has been busy. I mean, just busy. I told Kinsey, I said, after Christmas, you know, beginning of the new year, there'll be kind of a lull, you know, we can, you know, just kind of relax for, you know, maybe a month or so. And it seemed like January 1st, it was just running like 200 miles an hour. It's been crazy. But it has been good as well. In the busyness and the everyday, I have seen myself getting closer to the Lord. And not only me getting closer to the Lord, but the Lord drawing himself closer to me. And I hope that's been the same with you, that even in our busyness and in our lives, the Lord will find ways throughout the day and our weeks to just let us know that he is with us. And it has been awesome. Before we jump into the message, I have forgotten multiple times to announce this, but if you have not completed your find a place to serve thing here, we would love for you to get connected to our church more, find a place to serve. Our church is growing. We have more needs, more places to serve, and God wants you to serve, right? Not only does the church need you, but you need the church. It's a mutual thing, and we need you. God has given you gifts and passions and abilities for you to serve other people that only you have. So if you have not filled this out or prayed about it, I encourage you, there are on the table in the fellowship hall in the back. Take one home. You can take a look at it, different places that you could possibly serve. And if you are currently serving in an area, we want you to fill this out anyway because, you know, we go through different changes and seasons in life. Maybe, you know, you've been serving in one area and just right now you can't serve in that area. We want to respect that and honor that. But maybe you're like, hey, God is calling me to serve some other place. So even if you're serving in one of those areas, please fill that out and you can drop it in the offering box. And we will get that and get you plugged into a place to serve. So wanted to make sure that I announced that. But this morning, we are talking about the new me. The new me. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 this morning. And last week, we looked at this idea that God hates religion, right? And as followers of Jesus, we are called to follow Christ, not Christianity, not the religious organization that we have, but to truly follow Christ. And if you missed that message, I encourage you, go to our website and you can watch that from last week. I think it will be very meaningful to you in that message. But this week's message is unique in that it's kind of a continuation of this thought, so to speak. You see, we talked a lot last week about how it's not our job as Christians to convict other people, right? We can judge them, we can speak truth, we can call sin, sin, but it's not our job to try to convict them to turn from that sin. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, right? It's not our job to condemn other people. That's not what we do, that's what Satan does. And what we do is we just live in the freedom of Christ. But if we leave that message where it's at, we can tend to start to think that, well, if I live in the freedom of Christ and I don't have conviction and all of these types of things, then I can just live in my sin and I will be fine. Well, the Apostle Paul continues in his message in Colossians to kind of flesh that out and let the Colossians know, hey, that's not actually true. Right? You are a new person in Christ. You just can't continue to live in your sin because you don't want to follow the religious laws and things of the day. While it's true that we have freedom in Christ, the Apostle Paul wants to make sure that we understand that the freedom we have is not freedom to sin, but freedom to be the new you in Christ, the person that God created you to be. So the Apostle Paul, he starts in chapter 3, and he begins to flesh out this thought in verses 1 through 17. And this is probably going to be one of the largest chunks of scripture in Colossians that we read together. But he kind of just goes on just this really in-depth understanding of what living in Christ really is. Living as the new you, living in the freedom that God has given. And he begins to flesh out this thought, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning. That in order to live, you must die. In order to live, you must die. Now, that might sound like an oxymoron, right? Like, that just doesn't make sense at all. Well, we're going to get into that because the Bible is full of these oxymorons and these paradoxes here. So starting in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, this is what Paul means when he's talking about in order to live, you must die. He says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. And you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. So put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Now that was a lot of scripture, and we are going to break it down this morning. What is the Apostle Paul saying here about living this new life in Christ, being the new me in Christ Jesus? Well, what he is saying is that in order to live this new life, you must die to your old sinful life. See, we've talked a lot about how the Christians in Colossae, they struggled with this new form of mysticism and Gnosticism. Right, the thought that the more spiritual and supernatural you become, the closer to God you would get. So the Colossians, they would join these different cults and secret societies that they said, hey, if you join us, you will learn this secret knowledge, this secret understanding that you can't get about God from anywhere else, and you will get closer to the Lord. And they got tied up in just being supernatural and just spiritual people rather than living in the freedom and the life that Christ had given them. So again, Paul is reminding them that what they think is true is not really true at all. That they need to stop relying on their own knowledge of what they think about God and fully surrender to Christ and think about the things of God, not the things of religion. This is what he says starting out in verse 3, in verse 1, that you must die to your own knowledge. You must die to your own knowledge. It's what the Colossians had to do. He says this. He says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. And think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. What is he saying? He's saying that you have to die to your own knowledge, to what you think is true. Right, the Colossians, they thought that Gnosticism was true, that if they did the certain religious rituals and all of these things, they would get closer to God. If they just went to the temple, if they just went to church, if they just did all of these things, they would get closer to God. And Paul is saying, hey, you got to get rid of that idea that what you think is true is really true. You just need to look into Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I think I read that somewhere. Right there. I am the way. He is the truth. So we get rid of our own knowledge, our own understanding. We die to that, and we live in the truth of Christ. And this right here is a challenge for us, particularly in our American society. We live in a postmodern society today where we are so focused on finding our own truth that we overlook the truth that God has given us in Christ. We say things like, you know what, that's your truth. I may not agree with that, but you know, that's what you believe to be true, so that's true for you. But then that's not truth, that's just an opinion, right? An opinion's like a belly button. Everybody has one and they all stink, right? You can't just come up with your own truth. There can only be one true thing. That's how it's true. If you don't believe me, try going back to school and just circling an answer on a test and be like, well, teacher, I thought that answer was true, so you should just give me a passing grade on that, right? No, there's one true answer. And as believers in Christ, as Christians, we believe that that truth comes from Christ himself, that he revealed the fullness of truth to humanity. We have to stop focusing on finding our own truth and find the truth that God has given us in Christ. And in our society, we look for truth about the afterlife and the supernatural, just like the Colossians did with Gnosticism and mysticism, right? That's why we have TV shows that deal all about superheroes, right? There was a really popular TV show called Supernaturals, and it's literally all about the supernatural. And there are Americans all over the country that call themselves Christians, and they are getting their opinion, what they perceive to be true about the supernatural realm, from TV shows and pulp culture, not the truth of the Word of God. That's why things like Harry Potter and other mystical entertainment captures so much attention. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch those things and you shouldn't find entertainment in those things, but you certainly shouldn't try to find truth in them. If you find truth in somebody waving a wand around and saying Expelliarmus, we need to have a conversation, right? It's entertainment, it's good, it's fun, but it's not where we find the truth about the Lord. But when you give your life to Christ, and you die to your perception of what is true, you realize that the real truth is hidden in the person of Christ. And you start to die to your own knowledge and misunderstandings of God. And you begin to look deeper into Christ, and you start to see how the truth that you thought you had was nothing more than a religion, and real truth is found in the person of Jesus. One of the worst things we can say as followers of Jesus is, well, I think God would do blank, or I believe the Bible says blank. It's not what you and I believe to be true. It's what really is true. It's what Jesus said is true. It's what the Word of God actually reveals to you and I. Not what we believe about God, but who God actually is. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying you set your sights on the realities of heaven, on the things that are true, the things that are far greater than you and I. You have to die to your own knowledge. Another reason why we have a difficulty with dying to our own knowledge, especially as Americans in our culture, is because if we die to our own knowledge, that means we also have to die to our own future. Think about that for a minute. You have to die to your own future. What does Paul say? He says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And like a good American living in a first world society, we think about the future. We're thinking about retirement. We're thinking about the home that we want to build, the life that we want to give our kids and our grandchildren, and all of these things that we want to do in the future. I have plans that I would like to do, right? In fact, I was just sharing with the guy the other day, I would love to own a root beer store. You guys know how much Pastor Brandon loves root beer. And I think it would be awesome. But here's the thing, when we start to build our life off of what we perceive the future to be, we're not living in Christ. We're living in our own knowledge and our own understanding of what's going to happen. Because what Jesus says is, hey, the time is near for me to come back. This world is not going to be around. You don't know the day or the hour that you will leave this earth at all. Our time is limited. And so if we try to put our own trust in our own future, it may never even come. But what Paul is saying, he's saying, think about the things of heaven. Think about the realities of not just in this temporary life, the things of earth, but think about the realities of your eternal life. What are you going to receive in your eternal life? Are you going to be walking with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth? Are you going to be walking down those streets of gold? Are you going to have no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more worry? Are you going to enjoy the benefits of Christ? One of the things that I love to do the most is when I come over to some of your houses or catch you in town or whatever, I love it when our conversation always points back to the things of heaven. Where we talk about, yeah, Jesus is coming back soon, so we need to be ready. Yeah, man, we don't know everything that's going to happen in the next life, but we know that we are going to have the love of Jesus. His glory is going to fill us and consume us, that we are going to live in his presence for eternity. I love talking about the things that are going to come. Don't get me wrong, I love talking about the future as well, but man, when you start talking about the earthly future, man, that's when we start to talk about things like, man, who are we going to war with next, right? Man, what is our economy going to do? This inflation is just terrible. And what about all of these other issues and all of these people that are hurt? And it turns grim real fast. But when we die to our own knowledge and our own understanding of the future, you will find so much peace in this new life that Jesus is calling you to live. There is so much peace thinking about the things of heaven and setting our sights on those realities, not the things of this world. So if you want to live this new life in Jesus, you focus on the true future and the knowledge of Christ. The other thing that we have to do after this is that you must die to your sin. If you want to live this new life, if you want to be the new me that Christ Jesus has died for you to be, you must die to your sin. Now, as we were reading the scripture, right, those 17 verses, there's a verse in here where Paul says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. And I'm pretty sure some of you just immediately got defensive. Because I'll tell you, the first time your pastor read this, I got defensive. And I had to go back and I had to reread because there's some things that he tells us that we get in this new life with Christ, like love and gentleness and kindness and all this stuff. But man, sometimes we get overshadowed by all of those things because it's like, Jesus, you're telling me to what? You ain't gonna tell me what to do. You ain't gonna tell me not to live this sinful life. But that's true. You must die to your sin. Now, going back to our message last week, right? If you just follow the religious laws that we see in Scripture, the sin that God warns us not to do, if you just do that out of just following the rules and trying to be a good person, that's religion. That's not a relationship with Christ, right? You can't convict somebody else to die to their sin. Only Jesus can convict somebody to die from their sin and to live in this new life. But just because we have freedom in Jesus does not mean that we can live in our sin. That's what Paul is saying here. You still have to die to your sin when you live in the freedom of Jesus. He says this, starting in verse 5. He says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And remember, we're supposed to set our things on heaven, not the things of this world. And because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. His judgment, his wrath is going to be here because of the sin in this world. And you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Do you see how many times in just 3 or 4 verses Paul references this idea of dying to your sin? Put it to death. Have nothing to do with it. Get rid of it. Strip it off. Your freedom in Christ does not give you a license to sin. Yes, you have grace that covers that sin until the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you and begins to work that out. We talked about that last week. But when that conviction comes, you got to die to it. You've got to cut it out. And as a pastor, I'm not just saying this to you, I'm saying this to myself as well. Right? This point is a lot easier to preach on Sunday morning than it is to live out at the basketball game on Friday night. All right? And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. All right? Your pastor might have had some dirty language going on in his mind about some certain aspects of the game on Friday. But we must constantly let the Lord and the Holy Spirit work out this sin in our life. Paul uses strong language to get rid of this stuff. Don't go near sin is what he is saying. And if you don't go near sin for the sake of following the rules of Christ set in place, you're just following a religion and you're not really getting rid of that sin. But if you don't go near sin because you know that it will separate you from Christ and it will bring his final judgment on your life and you want to live that new life that Christ has given you, that's living in Christ, then that is the right attitude to die to your sin. That's what we are called to do. So this is what I want you to catch this morning. I'm not here to convict you or to condemn you, but I want to give the Holy Spirit a chance to work in your lives. If you are living in sin this morning, you need to cut it out now. You need to pray about your sin and let the Holy Spirit guide you into truth. And the reason why I said you need to cut it out is because sin, all it does is it just infests. It's like a cancer. It will just consume you and take it over. And when Paul talks about you need to put it to death, you need to get rid of it, this is what he is talking about. You need to completely sever your relationship with the sin in your life. And right now, as I am speaking this and I am saying this, I believe the Holy Spirit is convicting many of us and saying, this is the sin that is in your life, and you need to get rid of it. You need to let Jesus, who already died, to take your place, to bury that sin, to cast it as far as the east is from the west. You need to let him cut that out of your life and make you the new person that he has called you to be. God has a great plan for your life. He has a new life for you. An eternal life, not just one in the temporary satisfaction and gratification that sin gives us, but a new, fulfilling, and full life in Christ. We must die to our sin. But we must also understand this, that dying to our sin is not always an immediate process. I love the stories. I was just talking with somebody yesterday who he was talking about, man, when Jesus got a hold of his life, he was a drunkard and just full of just anger and all these things. And when Jesus got a hold of his life, it just went away instantly. I love those stories. But that's not always the story. In fact, I would say most of the time that's not the story. Most of the time, this idea of dying to our sin, it is a daily occurrence. It is a process. That's where we get the word sanctification, is that we every single day are striving to get rid of the sin in our lives, to allow Jesus to reveal it, to convict us, to let his grace remove it from our lives. It's not always an immediate process. Most of the time, it's not an immediate process. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse 10 as well. Look at what he says. He says, put on your new nature. Right? Live in this new life that Christ has given. Be renewed as you what? Not as you are immediately saved and sanctified. No, as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It's a process that you put on this new life that Christ has given you every day as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. See, our purpose as a church is to lead people closer to Jesus by connecting with God, which is what we did during worship, entering his presence, connecting with our Lord, growing in understanding. And that's this right here, learning to know our Creator, digging into the Word of God, learning to hear his voice and to understand the truths of who he is, to live this new life and becoming like him. We connect, we grow, we serve other people, and we go into the world, we share the gospel. This is what Jesus has called us to do. But this idea of growing together is not a one and done deal. That's why Jesus established his church in this world, is so that we could learn and grow together to understand the truth about Jesus, to understand what it means to live in this new life that Christ has given us. And so we put on our new nature. We die to our sin to learn to know your Creator and become like Him. But it's a process. And that's why we need the church. We need other people who aren't afraid to tell us the truth, right? Not to convict us and not to condemn us, but to call sin what it is and to judge our hearts and say, hey, there might be some sin there that you need to pray about. There might be some things there that you're struggling with that you just need to let the Lord work throughout your life. And as He begins to work and you begin to learn to know Him more and hear His voice and become more like Him, we are here to support you in that. You don't have to try to figure out this new life on your own. Isn't that wonderful? One, Jesus is here to lead you and to guide you into this new eternal life. But then He surrounds us with other people to help us to learn what following Jesus is truly like. So we die to our knowledge, our future. We die to our sin. And the last thing we must understand about living this life as the new me is this. That you must live as the new you, right? It's not just about dying to everything, right? That's a grim and that's a a gloomy religion that I don't want anything to do with it. If all I have to do is die to all of these things, but Paul ends with this understanding that yes, you die to your knowledge and your future and to your sin, but then you live as the new you that Christ has made you out to be. He closes out this portion of his letter reminding us that now, my notes are not making sense right there. Now, not only must we die to our knowledge and our perception of truth and our sin, but we live as the new person that Christ has transformed us into, a person who clothes themselves with mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. A person who easily forgives those who offend them and loves others and shows peace and worships the Lord. All of these things that I just mentioned that Paul in the last five verses of this passage of Scripture talks about, I don't think any of us would say that those are bad qualities to have as a person, right? Kindness and gentleness and being merciful to other people and showing grace and love and all of these things. But so many times we just block out the person that Christ is making us into, that He wants us to live as, because we're so caught up with the things that we have to die to. But when you get into an understanding that the things that you must die to live this new life in Christ, when you understand that those things aren't nearly as good as the things that you get in this new life, you would be willing to die to your sin, to your future, to your understanding every single day. Because the person that Jesus is transforming me to be is a far greater person than I could ever be on my own. Ever. I'm so full of sin. I'm so full of pride and wanting to make my own path and my own future that I could never have these qualities on my own. Jesus wants to give you mercy and humility and gentleness and patience. He wants to help you learn how to easily forgive those who offend you, to love them and to show peace and to worship the Lord. You say, so Pastor Brandon, how do I start this process of living this new life in Christ? Well, one, you have to accept what Jesus did, His work on the cross. You have to understand that you can't actually die to your sin on your own. It is only through the blood and the work of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins that you can die to your sins. And when you accept that Jesus took your place to die for your sin, and you accept that and you ask Him to forgive you, that's the place that you start. But so many times we say, okay, yes, I need to give my life to Jesus and that's it, right? Now I'm good. Well, no, Paul goes on and he says this in verse 16. He says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. That's why we gather on Sunday mornings, because we're teaching and we're being discipled through the preaching of the word. That's why we get together on Wednesday night, so we can study more about God and we can teach and counsel one another with the wisdom of the scriptures. And then he says this, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. If you want to learn how to start to live this new life in Christ, one of the best places you can start is with worshiping the Lord. It really is. When you start to worship God and you open up your life and your heart to just let him just flood in his presence and his love and to begin to work out all of these things in your life, there is no greater thing in the world. I love worshiping Jesus because every time, I promise, every Sunday morning when we are worshiping the Lord together or throughout the week when I'm worshiping him on my own, the Lord is always speaking to me about things that I need to die to and things that he is giving me, this new life, this gentleness and this humility and all of these things that I need to focus on more. It's through worship that we can live in the newness of Christ. So what I want to do as we close out our time together this morning, I want to challenge you to die to your old self and live new in Christ. We're going to go into a time of worship. We're going to listen to this wonderful, beautiful song. And as we listen to this song, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to analyze your heart and your soul. Maybe you need to die to some old ways of thinking about God, to some of your own plans in your life. And God says, hey, no, I have a different plan in store for you. Some of you are going to find your purpose for the rest of your life. For others, maybe you need to die to some sin that you've let go unchecked in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to work that out of your heart. And once you have done that, I want you to live in the new you and worship your Lord and Savior with this song. Let's go to the Lord in some worship.